Well, here we are, my brother. We're connecting house to house. You're in your palace.
I'm in my cave. And it's via Zoom and all different kind of audio quality. So, you know, struggle with us. But it's going to be good. So just roll with us. I never leave her, because I need her. Mamacita, Angelina,
you deserve a trophy, because you're a winner. Well, well, everybody, welcome to the Jason. No. The J-Bell and OC podcast, right? We made that clear last time, right, my man?
We made it official.
It's official.
J-Bell and OC, absolutely.
Yeah, we need to get the people with the higher powers like Simon to go and change that on all of the social media platforms and podcast platforms.
Correct. Who calls you Jason? I've never heard anybody call you Jason. Like, everybody calls you J-Bell. Like, you're J-Bell.
The IRS, the tax service people, they'd be like, Jason, can you explain this?
I'll tell you when you know you're really in trouble. When the IRS calls you J-Bell. When the IRS comes in, hey, J-Bell, we need to talk to you, J-Bell. You'd be like, oh, I messed up. I'm in big
trouble. They know me. Oh, man. I tell you what, man. I wanted to start this podcast off with talking about, I don't want to say a light subject, but I was going to really dig into, you know, the off season and where we are, players not being able to do what they've done in the past. And you're an expert on that. But things have changed overnight.
Yeah. You know, I think obviously we want to give the people what they want. A lot of people who listen to us for not only social commentary, but for football. But in my opinion, in my estimation, and in our discussion prior to this podcast a couple of minutes ago, I think we fully understand that now isn't the time for that. Like, there's some real things going on, and it would be irresponsible on our part to really be discussing football when there's some real, real nasty, real terrible things going on out there. And I think we need to dedicate this particular podcast to discussing the issues around that, and how we're going to be able to, you know, heal not only ourselves, but help people who are listening to us come to grips with what's going on, and, you know, how we can somehow find a way to move forward.
Yeah, I agree. We knew we had the podcast today, and I always get a little excited. You know, I get to chop it up with my man, and I got that energy. I always have that energy because I know we're going to have a good time. And I woke up this morning and I made a mistake. I jumped on Twitter.
Yeah.
I stay away from social media when I get up. It's other things I need to do to get my brain prepared for the day.
Yeah.
And I did. And I saw something and it made me upset. And I'm just so glad that now I get to talk this through with you. So for our listeners who we appreciate, I mean, we really feel connected to you all. A lot of this from me is going to be a lot of getting things off my chest and vetting to my man OC, which I do and all the time. And I want to bring everybody into that process. And so what we know what happened.
For those who don't know, it's going to be a tough one, J-Bell. It's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough. Mm-hmm. George Floyd, black man, killed by a police officer in Minnesota. Anyone who hasn't seen it, go check it out. It's graphic. And it really reopened wounds that weren't healed.
Yeah.
You know, years ago we had to address the issue with what Colin Kaepernick was doing and why he was doing what he was doing. And people tried to make it something it wasn't. And it was always about police brutality.
Yeah.
Against African-Americans.
Mm-hmm. you hear some of the African-American leaders as far as the government's concerned, and I listened to people on the news last night say things like, what do I tell people? You know, we told them there was bipartisan conversations and good things happening in the government to alleviate these problems, to start to deal with them. Like, people don't even trust us, their constituents with their color, the same color as them, from the same background. People are so tired, exhausted, disappointed. It's frightening and it's scary.
Yeah. The guy, the police officer, knelt on this man's neck for 9 minutes. Knelt down on this man's neck for 9 minutes until the man died. The thing that I can't seem to wrap my head around is this is more than racism. It's more than that. You had people with phones recording you, telling you what was going on. The man is on the ground telling you he can't breathe. You have people, other police officers standing around looking at this, and people are recording you doing this. And you still thought that was okay? I can't seem to understand what frame of mind somebody's in. I understand if you're a racist and you want to kill black people. Okay, you're doing that. But with people looking at you, with people watching you, with people recording you,
no fear.
Still do that. I just can't wrap my head around that. Where are you mentally that would make you think that this is an appropriate action to take? It's mind-boggling. And so I get the, you know, my son is 12 years old, and you know, I'm sitting in my room yesterday. My son comes up to me, he knocks on the door, and he comes in, he's like, "Dad, I want to leave the school I'm in. I want to go to an all-black school." This is what my son says to me. And I'm looking at him, Jason, I don't know what to tell him. You know, I don't know. And I'm like, why? He's like, you know, what they're doing to black people, I can't understand it. And I want to go to an all-black school.
And wow.
J-Bell, that stuff crushed me, man. It broke my heart. Because he's literally in the best school in London, and he's seeing things that are making him question that.
His friendships, because he's got a diverse group of friends. They're all cool. They all have a good time. So
he's questioning that.
He's questioning those friendships.
And I told him, I was like, you know what, you know, because I like to think, I was like, you know what, TJ, just give me a minute. Give me a minute. Just go back to your room. Give me a minute. And I'm going to come in there and I'm going to talk to you when I gather my thoughts, because I didn't want to react. I can be emotional sometimes. And I didn't want to react by saying, you know what, cool, let's do that. I didn't want to react like that. So I was like, you know what, just give me a minute. And, you know, I'll get back to you. So I sat down and I thought for a long period of time. And then I went back to his room and I told him that I understand exactly how you're feeling. I understand your emotion. I understand your sentiment. But that's not the way we're going to fight this. As a matter of fact, the way we're going to fight this is keeping you in that school. That's exactly how we're going to fight this. And so I had to go on to explain to him all the reasons why it was necessary for him to stay in that environment. why is it necessary for him to stay in that environment? Number one, because he's brilliant. Literally, not only is he athletic, he is literally, and his teacher's telling me this all the time, he is literally one of the smartest kids we've come in contact with. So I'm like, okay, this is the way this has to be fought. You have to fight it by being in that environment amongst mostly white people, showing your level of intelligence, showing your level of humanity, so they see that we're not animals. So they see that we're not, you can't just treat people like that, man. Like it's so sad, man. It's so sad. It's so sad.
It is. And you think about your son and just the kind of kid he is and the joy he brings to a room. He's just so happy, you know, so appreciative. For him to come in and say that and to think like that, you know, it lets you know how this impacts every walk of life.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing, you know, living in London, I've come to appreciate a lot of things.
Yeah.
As much as Americans preach this, we are free kind of thing, we're so free, all our freedoms. True, you know, very true. But I've come to realize America is a policed state. Mm. The police have extraordinary levels of power over you in a situation where it's... either it's an arrest or an interrogation or anything where it's street level and you have to deal with them. They have a lot of power. I mean, when they have a thing called civil forfeiture where they can take something from you and you have to now prove to them it's yours is amazing, right? And they do that to people. You know, there's a reason it exists in law. You know, you do it because you're trying to stop drug traffickers and things of that nature. But they use that in underprivileged communities all the time. I grew up to fear the police. There was a place in Long Beach that we were not supposed to drive through called Signal Hill. My dad used to tell me about a kid that went to Long Beach State, an athlete that something bad happened to. I mean, I feared the police.
Mm.
No doubt. When I was at UCLA, I watched them treat us differently than some of my other teammates, the local police department, when it came to getting tickets. It was just what we had to deal with.
Yeah.
One time I was walking in where I live in London. I'm not going to say the area. And I saw these kids out of school group. It was kind of mixed, but predominantly brown and black kids. And I don't know what they were doing. They were, you know, but it was a lot of them. And I watched the police talk to them in a way. And I had to sit there and I was in shock at the respect they gave these kids. OC, I thought I was going to have to go help the kids. But I realized quickly, I'm like, I had at that age, police had never talked to me like that. Now, listen, I'm no expert. This is just what I saw in my little neighborhood with some kids confronted by the police. That was a completely different experience that I had ever experienced in my life growing up.
Mm, mm-hmm.
The lady, one of the lady police officers was like, I saw your ID, sir. I know where you live. Sir! To a kid, to a brown kid, I was in shock.
Mm.
And it made me, this is before all of this, you know, okay? But it made me just realize, like, how empowered the police are in the United States and how disrespectful they are, continue to be, and have always been towards minority communities and or poor people without power.
Yeah.
They know when they have leverage and they use it. And what is sickening is what you said. The phone is out
everything we say that will keep you in check, to keep you from making these drastic life and death decisions, and you still do it. You still feel the power to do that. That is frightening. I understand what TJ's saying. That scared me. Yeah. What else can I do?
You know, the question that for me, and we talked about this before, I started reading this book, you know, The Why.
Yeah, I read that too. It's a good book.
Now, what I found myself, even before I read that book, is a lot of times for me, just with my thirst for knowledge, for my thirst for wanting information, I would always ask myself, why? Why? And if you can ask yourself why, right? Like within yourself, you remove influences, remove everything, just within yourself, tell yourself the truth about things. And you start to ask yourself why. I think you really get to the bottom of things. You really do. And so yesterday I put a tweet out, you know, saying, talking about racism would really end, in my opinion, when there's a African superpower country. What led me to that conclusion, Jason, was asking myself, why? Why? Why would white people, when they're talking about white people who are racist or white people who are white supremacists, obviously we know it's not all of them, but the ones who are that way, why do they feel superior? Why? Why is a white supremacist a white supremacist? What makes him think that? And so you ask yourself that question, okay, are white people evil? Some of them. Are white people just stupid that they're racist? Some of them, but not all.
Of course, not all.
So what would make them think that they are superior to black people? Why do they think that? Like, logically, forget emotion, remove emotion from the situation. Why would they think that? And the bottom line is this, J-Bell. We've been enslaved by them. Like we were. Mm-hmm. And this gives them subconsciously, some of them, they don't even understand why they think that way, but subconsciously, they feel that way because we were enslaved by them. And so you're like, okay, but so why did we allow that to happen? Like, why? And then you start to ask yourself, what are you going to do? What are you gonna do? You think it's rioting or going around shooting people? You think that's going to make them not feel superior to you anymore? No chance, buddy. There's no chance of that. We don't have the weaponry. We don't have the finances. We don't have anything to fight them in that particular way. It's just not going to happen. It's not a feasible way of doing things. All that's going to do is you're going to make some noise for a little bit, and then eventually everything is going to go back to normal. So how do you go about really, really addressing this issue? Jason, you know how I feel about these type of things? You know how I feel about these type of things? It's all Africa's fault. This is how I feel. it's all Africa's fault from the very beginning. From the very beginning, it's been Africa's fault. We allowed them to enslave our people. We allowed them to come there. You know, we sold our people to them. We allowed them to take them across seas. We allowed all this to happen. And now, guess what? We're allowing them to take our natural resources. No longer human beings. It's now our natural resources. Our countries are undeveloped. Our people, 90% of our people are living in poverty. So no matter what happens in America, no matter what happens in England, the white supremacist is always going to look at Africa and be like, look at your people. Look at them. Look at how they live. Look at how they behave. Yeah, you're here in America, but look at your roots. Look at how they are. And that's why we feel superior to you. That's why. That's the real reason why. That's the monkey, that's the elephant in the room that nobody really wants to address. Because in order to fix it, it's going to take 40, 50 years. And we don't have that time. So we point the finger now. We riot, we get angry, we get upset. But the real issue is the fundamental lack of respect for what Black people come from and what they're doing. That's the underlying issue there. Somebody hit me up. They were like, oh, you saying all these things about Africa, but what about Jewish people? What about anti-Semitism? I was like, do you really know what anti-Semitism really is? You think it's a lack of respect for the intelligence of Jewish people? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite.
Fear.
Fear. You're scared. You're afraid of the intelligence of Jewish people. That's why. That's what anti-Semitism really is. Whereas with Black people, it's think we're stupid. You think you're more intelligent.
There's a level of fear there still. There's a level. It's a different kind of fear. I will say this, and I love that our perspectives are different because of how we've grown up, and it's really allowed me to open my eyes and see, I like to say, see the whole field, right? And I love, I feel so much more connected because I can hear your point of view of being African. Truly, it's fascinating. So as a Black American, dealt the cards we've been dealt. Mm. You are looking at it at a very macro level, which you should, which is I'm into. So on a micro level, dealing with the US, I'm looking at it. And I think Dr. Martin Luther King said this, and he said something like riots are the voice of the unheard.
Mm-hmm.
Rioting is the voice of the unheard. It's the frustration, the pain, nobody's listening, a child screaming because I can't speak.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one thing I've seen this pattern where you said this. What was that quote you said one time about being comfortable? People get uncomfortable when you see their motivation. Did you say that? Something like that?
Probably, I don't know.
Yeah. And we were talking about something. You were like, I think we were talking about negotiations. Mm. And you were saying something like, J-Bell, people get uncomfortable when you know their motivation.
Mm.
You know, they get, and I was like, oh, because I wrote it down and I put OC next to it.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
And it was one thing, if you look throughout history, all over the landscape, the oppressors, especially the ones that understand there is oppression, whatever it is, we know this is bad.
Mm-hmm.
They always try to tell you how to protest.
Mm-hmm.
We just lived through it with Colin Kaepernick. Hey, we know it's bad, but why don't you do it like this?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know why, OC?
Mm-hmm.
Because the way that the oppressed choose to do it, do something, it makes the oppressor uncomfortable. And we all hate discomfort. So I just want everybody, let's just watch. And let's watch the narratives. And let's watch how people speak. Because people will tell on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They know police brutality is bad and real. They see it. They see ladies in Central Park call the police on black men because they're doing something illegal with a dog and use that power, that privilege that they know they have. I call the police on you. They show up. They're going to believe me.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows this is true. There's no secret now.
Mm-hmm.
But do it in a way that doesn't make me uncomfortable.
Mm. So are you of the impression that riots would work in this type of, in this instance?
No, I don't advocate for anything like that. In riots, especially because my grandfather and grandmother built a business off of like local liquor stores and stuff like that. So even when the riots happened back in the day in LA, like we, you know, that affected us negatively. So I don't believe in riots. You end up destroying your own community. It's a bad thing. But what I'm trying to say is one thing you and I always do, we always speak in a way where we understand our biases,
mm-hmm.
and our privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And we check it at the door. I have privilege and I have resources my whole life. My voice, when I wanted to say something, somebody listened. When I look at things across our planet, when there is uprise, it's always young people with energy with no voice.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you're 100% correct, right? Let's talk about the ones that are successful. Why were they successful?
Oh, man, you opening up a can that could go anywhere.
Good. Now, I saw this morning President Donald Trump put out a tweet, all right?
Man, did you? Yeah.
Now, the funny thing is...
The one, are we talking about where he said rioting and it comes, and if you riot,
shoot
we're going to shoot you.
We're going to shoot you, yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I woke up to. I didn't even want to, I mean, that's what I woke up to.
It's very, very important that we understand where we really are. And this has always been my issue. You have to understand where you really are. You have to understand it. You can write. You can do that. I've been to Iraq. I've been to Afghanistan.
Yeah, you have.
I've seen the strength of the United States military. You want them boys on your streets?
No.
Do you want them boys on your streets? You don't stand no chance. Zero chance. I saw the lady posing with her guns. I've seen the capability of the United States military. You do not want no part of that. So you riot, you burn things down, and then what happens? If them boys come on them street?
Yeah.
You know what's gonna happen?
Yeah. Bad.
Bad. So now, what is your alternative? You ask for things. You're like, oh, please don't shoot us. Please don't kill us. Please don't do any of this. But Jason, you and I know this also. Respect is never given. Never. You gotta earn that or you gotta take it.
Yeah. You know,
so you're in a position now where your path to really gaining respect and gaining freedom, they can bring the military down and crush that in a day. And if you ask for it, they don't give it to you. So what do you do? What is the real solution here, Jason?
The real solution, I'm listening to you, and it made me think, and it made me just really dig into what I believe. And I love, and I stick to your uprise narrative. It just encompasses so much of my philosophy and thinking and narrative, right? There needs to be, and we have leaders in the Black community that are doing this and are having these conversations. A guy named Sean King is a predominant one right now who's organizing on a social media level, getting people to react and understand what's going on. But you need a voting uprise. Mm. True power is understanding the rules to the game. You got to think, if you play a board game or you play a video game, you got different kind of people. Some people get in and they just play. Some people read the rule book. Mm. Some people say, what is this? How do you do this? And then play the game. Mm-hmm. I think understanding the government, understanding how everything works, is reading the rule book. There's one thing that I am really focused on, and I think it's my finance background that brought this out of me. And it's just look at government budgets. And understanding that, and understanding what your voice is as voters on the local level that pertain to government budgets. You know what's shocking, OC, is that COVID-19 is happening around the world. You have some cities, Los Angeles comes to mind, where you're having all of these programs are now going to be cut because of budget deficits. In the U.S., you have to balance your budget, right? You can't do like the federal government and spend more money than you have, not on the local level. Mm-hmm. So they're cutting things that are for education, health, crime prevention. We're going to cut those programs. But you know what money they allocated? You know where they put more money, OC? Mm-hmm. The police. It's already 50 to 60% of budgets, and they put more. So they're saying, now this is how you dig in. This is how you use your power and you have the vote. You say, what happens if we're auditing something or we're trying to figure out there was a crime? What do they say, OC? Follow the money.
Yes.
Follow the money. So you're saying we're going to cut all these things because the ramifications of the economy, because of COVID-19. We're going to cut all these things. Mm-hmm. Expecting crime, and you know we're expecting crime because we just increased the monetary spending on the police force in an already overly militarized country with the most prisons in the world per person.
They're telling you.
They're not even lying to you. They're not even lying to you, OC. The uprise needs to be, do what you need to do to understand the power of your voice as voters, as policymakers, and push that. Have that uprising. That's the empowerment that they really want to avoid. All you hear Donald Trump's focus on with voter all this voter rights and the suppression that he's trying to implement is because they know they want less than 60% of the population to vote. That's how he's going to stay in power.
But again, Jason, you're 100% correct, right? Now, here's the thing. Black people are in the minority still. They're still in the minority. Now that's gonna change in, what is it, like 40, 50 years, they're saying? But Black people are still in the minority. So now in order to get that change, we're relying on the goodness of white people, which there are so many of them, so many of them. As a matter of fact, I was thinking today, if I was in a life or death situation, if I was in a life or death situation, no, J-Bell, you are my boy. You are like my guy. But you know who I would want with me? A guy by the name of Dave Tollison.
That's your guy, man. You always say it.
And he's a white guy. If I'm in a life or death situation, I would want him with me because I know this guy has my back.
You always said that.
So we're relying on people. We're going to have to rely on people like that. Here's the problem. You know that lady who called the cops on the black guy?
Yeah.
In Central Park?
Yes.
Turns out she's a liberal.
Of course, yeah.
She voted for Obama. She's, yeah. So if you have nice liberal white people behaving in that manner, what chance do we have?
See, what it is Osi, in that, and I'm glad you brought that up. That is a case of not checking yourself and understanding how you use privilege. Let's just use a whole different subject. All right, we live in New York City.
Okay.
And New York City's got some hot spots.
Yeah.
Right? You want to get in the spot, you want to whatever. Guess what? I play for the Giants.
Yeah.
But Jason Bell played for the Giants. But if it's really exclusive, like really, I got to go. I'm Jason Bell. I play for the Giants and I'm with OC. Yeah, I'm just using it. We know when to flex our muscles and to use, I want to go to this restaurant. I want to do that. People do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Be aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
But in a situation like that, it's what coaches always say to us. You will fall to the lowest level of your conditioning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your conditioning is, when the pressure's on, that's what's going to happen. That's how you're going to perform.
Yeah.
So when the pressure was on, whoever this lady was in her life all these years, all the great things she's probably done, she fell to her lowest common denominator. And we all have one. But just be aware what it is. So when you're in that situation, just a second of realizing that can keep you out of harm's way. This lady has lost her job in the middle of COVID.
Mm.
You know, I mean, and her name is out there. She's in finance. Let me tell you something, being in finance, you don't want to do nothing wrong because if people start complaining about you, you're gone.
Yeah.
And if she would have realized what her lowest common denominator was on how she felt about privilege, she would have shut up a second earlier.
Mm. Yeah.
Lack of awareness gets us all in trouble.
So the question now, as always, for me, after yesterday, and I've been thinking about this for a while, is, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Everybody individually, it's one thing to talk. People love to talk. People love to go on Twitter, rant, rave, Instagram, this, that, RIP Joy. People love to do that. It's not a hard thing to do, especially now. It's easy to do. Everybody has an opinion. You can get your opinion out there. What are you going to do to help the situation? What are you going to do? Are you just going to talk? Are you just going to say RIP? Are you just going to blame this person or blame that person? What specifically are you going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm very clear on what I'm going to do. To me, as you said, I look at it from a macro level. I'm looking at the big picture. It's a very difficult thing to do if you haven't been in those environments.
Mm-hmm.
You want to fix your environment. You want to fix what you see as the problem. So do that. For me, I know where the issue is, and I know what needs to be addressed. So I'm going to do that. the heart of this problem to me lies in Africa, lies in Nigeria. That's where the heart of this problem lies in. And that's what I got to fix. That's what I got to attempt to fix. You got the most brilliant people in the world from Nigeria, all around the world. The most brilliant people in the world in Nigeria, living in that hellhole, living there. So what are we going to do? You see, to me, there's only three places now in the world where it's a true meritocracy. Only three. Three fields. Sports, the arts,
yeah,
and technology. That's it.
You are, yeah.
Level playing field. Level playing field there.
You're right. A lot of, and because a lot of those results are so instant, you know, game changers.
That's it. That's it.
Yep.
So I'm thinking to myself, okay, Nigeria, 200 million people, 90% of them living in poverty. Man, if I look at the way China was able to pull themselves out of that situation, they did it through cheap labor manufacturing, and now they pulled 750 million people out of poverty. We can't do the same thing. Why? Because of machination. Now, machines are going to be doing those jobs that, you know, those people were doing. It's going to make it even cheaper. So we can't do it that way. So I'm like, man, I have to find a way to fix or to help fix Nigeria. It's going to take 30, 40 years, long-term planning. I have to find a way to help do this, man. So how are we going to do it? I have to put a plan in place, Jason, to literally teach 1 million youth how to code. A million. Man. How to code. I've already done 2,000, but I need a million. Because if they're competing in the digital space online and through technology, ain't no Bill Gates, Microsoft, Google, they don't give a damn about black, white, brown. They don't give a damn about none of that. Technology is their religion. That's all they understand. And the best people will rise that way. So boom, I have to find a way to teach 1 million people how to code, because I believe this is what's going to really help bring these people out of poverty, right? So we got to do that. We got to find a way to give these Nigerian kids or African kids in general an opportunity to play sports in America or in England. We got to teach them. We have to find a way to get them to play sport, NFL, soccer. We have to find a way to do all these things. It's a massive project, but J-Bell, it's literally the only way. It's the only way for me, man. And this is what the uprise really has come down to. This is what it's like my whole life has led me to this particular point right here. It's led me right here. This is what has to be done. I'm racking my brain, because, you know, a lot of times we try to think of the easy way out. We're like, oh, we got to find a, there's no other way, man. This is going to literally take 30 years. We're so far behind. It's going to take 30 years to build, but at least we can build the foundation that will allow these people to rise. That will allow, you seen the movie Black Panther?
Mm-hmm.
Bro, I'm telling you, like, When I watch it, I look at it through a different lens now. The director was literally trying to tell us something. He was trying to tell us something. We weren't listening, though.
Some people were listening. You were listening.
We're throwing up the X, Wakanda Forever, we want to dress like that. But he was trying to tell us something.
There's something in your dirt.
It's right there.
It's right there.
If that place existed, if something like that existed, you think all this nonsense would be going on now? No. We have to find a way to start to build that. And all it takes is like-minded people coming together, and we'll find a way. That's my opinion. And this is the direction. I'm looking at it from that perspective. I'm like, okay, if we can build a country or a place in Africa, that's literally a technological hub, sports hub, arts hub. If we can build that, that's my contribution. That's my contribution to the black race. That's my contribution. We're going to let people look over there. The same reason why I was born in London, you understand? The same reason why I lived most of my life in America. But if you ask me where I'm from, I tell you I'm Nigerian. Why do I do that? Because I know there's a negative connotation surrounding Nigerians, and I know the way people look at me. So when they see me and I say I'm Nigerian, the next time they see a Nigerian, they're like, maybe they're not scam artists. Maybe he's not a scam artist. Maybe Nigerians aren't this. It's my contribution. And this is the way I'm choosing to approach this. I have to find a way to elevate that community.
I think you just said something that makes it all make sense. To everyone listening, and I'm included because I was listening, we are responsible for ourselves, OC. And if we look at who we are and what we can do, that's enough.
Yep.
That truly is enough, because you're right. You are all about helping people. Everything you do. It's been times I'm like, we ain't doing this. And you've come back to me like, Jay Bill, I hear what you're saying, but this isn't about us. This will help someone. You've said that. And I just want everybody to understand that. I know we're talking about the oppression of black people, but the way me and OC think truly, and we talk about other things, we would be behind any movement
of oppression where people are being victimized.
Mm-hmm. Because we're the kind of people that checks the bully. It's who we are. If you know, if somebody's over there getting pushed, I mean, I have gotten myself in trouble trying to help people in situations where I should have probably avoided. But it's in me to look like, oh, you're not gonna push that person around or do this or do that. It's who we are. And whoever you are as an individual, whatever you can do, man, one thing might be all it takes, man. One thing for one person in one circumstance. I mean, you just don't know the impact you will have by just doing the right thing. You know, you're talking on a big level, but you know what? You got big resources. So that can happen. On my level, I'm thinking, how do I use what I understand about finance? And how do I make, when I have these conversations with people, give them nuggets to say, try to pursue this direction. Look at this way. You know, identify things where you can see what people are actually doing, because numbers do not lie. You know, for the most part, you can tailor them to fit your narrative. That's a whole nother subject. But in the case where it's as far as what your government is doing, they'll tell you. The numbers will tell you. And if you got a problem with that, rally around that. And all it takes is one person to cause an uprise. Everything starts at one. You don't go from zero to whatever without starting at one. Be that one.
Ooh, that's it, Jay Bell.
That's all we can do. That's all we got, man. Be that one, man, because, you know, it's I'm not bringing this around to football because we're talking football, but I tell you what, everything I've ever seen on any team and anywhere that there was a challenge and you look at the outcome and whatever it was, and I think of the people that sparked that. It's always a person. It's always a play. It's always a thing, right?
Yep.
Momentum comes from one thing. Sometimes it's just the crowd getting hyped. You know, I mean, like all of a sudden one person just goes crazy. They follow, you feel it on the field. I mean, who knows how these things happen, but it's always a person. Always a person. Somebody.
man. That's all we got, J-Bell. Uprise.
That's all we got. Uprise, man. I mean, I feel better, you know. And everybody out there, don't be scared to have these conversations with people you trust, because you got to get things off your chest. You know, nobody has to have an answer all the time or be an expert. But talking it through, it helps, man. It's good people in this world, Osi.
Absolutely.
It's good people, man.